Hey friends, it's Rich Birch from Unseminary, Trained Up. We've been talking about this for the last, month or so, and we really do want you to check it out. It's an online training tool for ministry leaders like you, used to train volunteers, develop leaders, and teach the Bible. Listen, what I want you to do is really simple. Today, like right now, go to trainedup.church, sign up for their demo or their 30-day test. You get a money-back guarantee. It's an opportunity for you to train your people and not get them to come to meetings. We really want you to find out more about it. We've been talking about it all month, but drop by trainedup.church right now.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host here. And man, I am super excited about today's conversation. I really do think this is one of those conversations that literally 100% of the people that are listening in are going to be able to take something away from, and it's going to make a difference, maybe even this coming week at your church. So please listen in hard. Today, we've got Marty Sawyers with us from Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. This is a church you need to be tracking. It's a fantastic church in Arizona. They have three locations. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the country, and Marty is the executive pastor there. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rich. Glad to be here.
This is going to be good. First of all, it's always good to talk to people in Arizona. It makes me feel warmer just talking to people in Arizona, so which is great. Now, why don't you tell us about the church? If people were to arrive this weekend, tell us what they would experience. Give us a sense of kind of the ministry.
Sure. Cornerstone's 21-year-old church. If you show up at Chandler, you're going to experience a fantastic worship, great kids programs, things pretty much for everything for the family. Lots of activity, lots of energy, and they're going to get here and receive a very practical, biblical message, all throughout the different things that we offer.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, what your role there, executive pastor, give us a sense of the scope that different, churches, that kind of means something different, but give us a sense of what that means.
I jokingly say I oversee everything but own nothing.
Lots.
So
fantastic.
So I guess for another chief of staff, I oversee all staff. I oversee kind of all ministries, but we do have an executive team that there's an exec over every single part of the different ministries of the church. So I oversee the executive team.
Very cool. Now, give us a sense of the size and scale of your staff team, the total staff team.
Sure. We have about 75 full-time staff, and we've got 6 executives.
Okay. So now, the interesting thing I know in a growing church, as you're adding more and more staff, things become more complex. They don't become simpler as you add more staff. We hire people because it's going to reduce our problems, but really what it does is shift our problems around. I wonder if you've experienced that, or is just everything swimming along? It's always perfect at Cornerstone. There's never any communication issues. Tell us a sense of what. Give us a sense of what that's like at Cornerstone.
Sure. Well, I think everybody at every church realizes that everything would be great until we insert people into the equation.
True.
Me included. So, as we talk about communication and hiring people, we found that communication is the thing that usually breaks down, or is the one that causes all the problems. Mm-hmm. Or when we look back at a problem, we'll say, "Oh boy, if we were to communicate that better, that wouldn't have been such an issue."
Mm-hmm. So why don't we dig into that? What were some of the evidence in your church, in your staff team, that you were like, maybe the communication isn't going as well as we anticipated? What were some of those maybe early warning signs that things weren't heading in the right direction?
There was just a general undertone of not mistrust or unhealth, but you could just sense something wasn't right.
Right.
And we were trying to figure what that was. Mm-hmm. So we actually, we did the, Best Christian Workplace survey. Mm-hmm. And what that showed us was, hey, we have some issues that we need to work on that. And as we dug into those, the main problem was just, hey, we're just not talking with each other very well, both up and down, top to bottom, side to side. And so that really was causing, most of the issues.
Interesting.
And, that was kind of the interesting. So there was some, as we talked about that and learned more about that and dove into it, I think really that's where most of the problems were stemming from.
We'll come back to the best Christian workplace tool, because that's a helpful tool that we've hinted to in past episodes with other churches. I'd love to come back to that in a bit and kind of pull that out a little bit, talk more about that experience. But let's talk about, you know, some of your findings, and then what were some of the early steps that you took to say, okay, we've got to deal with this kind of up and down the chain communication issue, both information disseminating down and then getting the right feedback back up through the system.
Well, I think the first step was almost admitting we have a communications problem.
Right.
And just basically admitting that, saying, hey, I might not understand it as the exec, or, you know, somebody else on the exec team might not understand that we have a problem or why, but there seems to be a problem. Because if other people are saying it and our staff is saying it, you know, maybe there's an issue, and maybe we might not understand it, but they seem to think there's an issue. So let's figure out what that is. So that was the first step, is, hey, we have a problem, and let's talk about it.
How did you do that? How did you actually get out to people? And, you know, because I love that first, you know, that you can't solve a problem until you say, hey, we've got a problem. So what did that look like? How did you actually start talking to people about that?
So we actually, you know, sent everybody off in their divisions and all their different ministries. And we asked them a couple of questions, and it was like no holds barred. Hey, tell us why, you know, what would it look like to have a healthy culture of communication here? What does that look like from top down, between ministries, on your own team? What are those things? What are the things that you're seeing? Why are you frustrated? What are the things that have happened that, you know, maybe cause some you know, problems? So what are all those things? So we got a ton of information from every single team. And each team met two or three times, and basically, then what we did was kind of gathered all that information. And it was like, are there consistent themes throughout all the teams, throughout all of staff? And then after that, we kind of created a couple of focus groups from all the different ministries. Because what we tried to say to staff is, we can't fix this problem without you. This needs to be your solution. You need to be part of it, because if the exec team just rolls it out, okay, here's the new way we're going to do communication, internal communications. It's like, okay, that's just something else.
Right.
But they need to own it because they're the ones that were telling us that there was a problem.
How did you encourage honesty in that conversation? I would think, so I think we've all been a part of kind of top-down rollouts. Hey, we're going to do this. This is the thing we're worrying about this month. But I think a lot of times people, if you've received one of those, you sometimes are like, even if you're maybe not doing it, you want to roll your eyes and be like, oh, great. But core to this is actually people being honest. How did you encourage honesty? How did you want them to be completely honest?
Well, that was an issue. I mean, because people are saying, oh, if I say this, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to look at like I'm not part of the team, or whatever that was. I mean, we all know that, you know, to be completely open and honest and vulnerable, you know, you put yourself out there. And it was just, hey, no, we want to get better. And the only way to get better is if you really tell us what you're thinking and feeling. And so I think some people were completely open and honest by what they said. And, you know, there were people that weren't. I mean, you know, they didn't say the last 10%. So we wish they did. But that, I think, the more we're open about how we talk and how we treat and, you know, the things that we say and how we communicate within departments, I think they'll learn that, hey, you know what, I can, because that would build trust. So as we improve communication, that would build a little bit more trust, and they'd feel a little more free to say the last 10%.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think, you know, two things there just to pull out. I think when we ask our teams for what could be perceived as negative feedback, like, hey, what's not working here? We want to know, we want to get a sense of what a better desired future is. We've got to have thick skin at that moment. And when people give us that feedback, we can't jump into defensive mode. And, you know, we've got to actually receive that feedback and do something with it ultimately. And then even what you said there, the last 10%, asking for that, that's a, you know, actually after your whole process saying, well, what else aren't you saying that you wish you could say? You know, let's actually talk about that.
Well, the other thing we did, I think, when we talked about the focus groups is I did not lead the focus group. No one on the exec team led the focus group.
Good.
We actually had an outside, we have an HR consultant that she comes in and, you know, does things for us a couple days a week. We had her lead the focus groups.
Oh, that's very good.
So there was maybe a sense of security and, you know, just maybe a little more comfort to say some of the things they might not have said to me or some of the other staff face to face. So that helped with that process.
Oh, that's good. That's a great takeaway. You know, if maybe there's a trusted outsider, a strategic outsider who could help, you know, with that process. Now, part of what I love about this conversation is we're kind of catching this in mid-process. I don't want to, you know, it's not like, okay, now Cornerstone's got it all nailed down. They've got it figured out. Marty's got a book on it. It comes out next month. You know, that's not the process we're in. I want to hear what you're doing, what steps you're taking. So you've kind of articulated, maybe a good place to start is, what were some of those common themes that came up when people talked about here's a desired future? What were some of those things that came up that you're like, okay, we're going to try to work towards that?
I think one of the biggest, there were several things, but one of the things that kind of sticks out is, hey, we talked about this maybe in several places, an idea, a direction, a decision, and then all of a sudden later it was changed. Mm. And we didn't do a good job of explaining why it was changed, when it was changed, all of that. So what we've tried to do very intentionally is, even as the exec team, is as we sit in our exec meetings, when the meeting ends, it's, you know, it's not a joke, but it is. We kind of make fun of it now, make fun of ourselves a little bit. It's like, okay, what else, who needs to say this, and who do we need to go tell this to?
Right.
So it's, we're almost overemphasizing the fact that, hey, something was decided, and we need to make sure that everyone that needs to know knows about it. Hmm. Some of the things were just sharing vision a little bit. It's, hey, not that they disagree with the decision, but it's like, hey, just tell us why we're doing this so we can be a part of either the success or the failure or changing it or making it better or, you know, all of that. So we've tried to do a little better job of that, of just explaining why this is why we're doing this.
Yeah, and I think you've hit on, in fast-growing churches, I know the church I've been a part of, we've had that same problem where things change. Like we had a plan, and then you know, whatever, the dynamics changed. We ended up, you know, we have to add services or do, you know, something like that. And it you can catch people off guard. You can catch your team off guard if you don't roll out changes well. I know for us, we eventually, you know, have got to the place where we talk about, you know, we don't change anything less than 6 weeks out. So if it's on the calendar for, with, you know, the next 6 weeks from now, we're going ahead with plan. We're not making that change, because if we make a change, the shorter distance time, it ends up just causing stress for us. For people who love change, we'd love to change all the time. But actually, for our team, as we grow, that becomes a hindrance. How, when you talk about kind of trickling down the information, what has that looked like in the various departments? How have they done that? Do teams, you know, you've got a wide variety of executives who do that within their departments. What are some of the ways that they're making sure their people are getting the right information at the right time?
Well, it's a little different for team, because every leader is a little different of how they lead their division. But, you know, it's almost so basic that it's kind of, you know, when, like I said, we're in mid process of this. So we haven't figured it out, but it's just the constant reminder of, have you told your team this? Has everybody on your team, because like you said, if it's 6 weeks out, we don't hold to that. We might change something for this weekend today, type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but that could happen.
It could happen. Yeah.
But as long as we're talking about that, and everyone knows that, hey, that's a possibility, because the change is not just for change sake. The change is, hey, this is going to be more impactful to whoever is sitting in that seat, mm-hmm. or, you know, whoever is stepping on one of our campuses. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that because it makes the most sense and it's going to have the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. But if we're always talking about that, and as each exec is sharing that with their team and almost rallying them to telling, hey, I know this is going to be more work. I know you might not understand this, but this is why. Mm-hmm. And you have to think outside of, hey, this doesn't just affect children's or students or adults or creative arts or guest services. This affects the whole church. Mm-hmm. So having that, getting out of that silo, which every organization lives in, and I get that and I understand it, but understanding that a decision you might not understand or agree with, we're going to do it because it benefits the whole.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, but just that constant conversation of, hey, sharing with your team, casting vision, telling them why, all of that helps with the process. And it is a process. Mm-hmm, we don't have it figured out yet. Mm-hmm. I think we're improving, but I know that the more we do this, the better it will be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What have various team members or yourself done to keep the why in front of people, to keep, you know, the why we're making this change, or even just the big vision, you know, of why the church exists? What have you been able to do to, you know, keep that front and center?
I think that's probably the hardest thing that we or any church staff does, is keeping the why out there, because it is a constant reminder, a constant. It's much easier to say, go do this, or we're going to do this, and then go do it, as opposed to, hey, this is why we're going to do it, because that takes longer. It's a little harder to explain. But when people then finally buy into that, it is much better. And then they understand that. But it's just a constant reminder to, hey, tell your team why, bring them in, you know, share that vision constantly. I mean, it's not just the execs to their team. It's the staff members to all their volunteer teams. It's the volunteer leaders to their volunteer lead, you know. So it's constantly reminding everyone. It almost goes into, you know, leadership development. It is, you know, training them, sharing with them, teaching them, but also reminding them, hey, this is why we do what we do, and getting them to buy into that and understand that, because then that helps with the whole communication process.
Very good. You know, you'd said earlier that, you know, you feel like you're making progress, things are heading in the right direction. What would be some of those early signs you're like, okay, there seems to be, you know, we're heading in the right direction on this front?
I've probably had a good half dozen to 10 staff members walk in and just say, hey, thanks.
Oh, that's great.
We see we're better than we were a year ago. We see you're making an effort. We see the whole staff making an effort. I like being here. So things like that. So it's not perfect,
right?
But I know it's getting better. You know, even so,
it's good.
The comments that we get from staff, the feedback, I know it's getting better. They appreciate it. They've verbalized that. Notes, letters, just walking in the office, things like that.
Very cool. And when you look to the future, a few things that you might be adding to this process, or things you're like, okay, here's another area we need to kind of attack in the communications process, or there are areas that you're still wondering, you know, that we should be working on?
I think I don't know if it's adding to. I think it's just being consistent with. It's, you know, in staff meetings, we try to do a leadership lesson at the very end. And some of those things that we do are, hey, this is what it's like to be here. This is what it's like to work here. So sharing those values of what it's like to work here, to be on this team, reminding them that it's almost like an employee onboarding. I don't think we did a great job of that in the past. We've changed a bunch of things. So as people come on board, I think they have a better sense of who we are and what we do and why we do it. And so they get brought up to speed quicker. But it's actually taking time throughout the year to reemphasize some of that, because, oh, yeah, we told them that a year ago, but maybe it's time to tell everybody that again and to share that and to talk about it again. So just a constant reminder throughout the year.
Yeah, there is a persistence and, you know, stick-to-itness on this area that we just have to keep on top of it, and you know, keep reminding people, keep focusing their attention and keep them pushing in the right direction. I wonder if we could come back to the Best Christian Workplace. Tell us a bit about that process. Again, a number of churches have mentioned it through this, you know, through our podcast, but it obviously was transformational for you in kind of a bit of a wake-up call. Okay, wow, like here's some stuff we need to work on. Give us a sense of that process. What did it look like? How does it work? You know, that sort of thing.
It's very simple. I mean, it's I think a 55 or 58 question, standard survey question of engagement, what, you know, all the standard questions that you could think of an employer. But then you can add, you know, five, you know, custom questions to that. But it wasn't the questions that were as helpful. It was the feedback and the outcome that we got out of it. It was, okay, we thought we were not that we thought we were better at this, but we didn't realize that maybe this was an issue. And like I said, it's, I think, admitting or going, okay, I don't understand why the feedback says this, but just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not my perception, it's the staff's perception. So if that's their perception, we need to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And so that was where it was just helpful to go, okay, I'm not seeing certain things, and obviously they're there. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a part of that, you know, process that's helpful is the third party nature of it. It has this sense of like, okay, these aren't just random questions we're making up. They're, you know, have, you know, as a way to benchmark against other organizations. It's a way to understand. And, you know, frankly, it's done, you know, in a professional manner, and it gives, you know, confidence to your team even to say, hey, we want to listen to you enough that we're willing to, you know, benchmark your experience against other organizations and understand, you know, what difference that makes for us. Obviously, it's not a silver bullet in any way, but it is a, you know, can be a really helpful process. Probably something for people to check out if they're, you know, if they're looking to make these kind of improvements. Is there anything else you want to share before we pivot into the lightning round? Any other piece of this conversation you want to make sure we talk to our listeners about?
The more people I talk to about this, and you know, some other execs and other leaders at much larger churches than us, the encouraging thing is they're struggling with it too. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we're ever going to solve this, but sometimes it feels good to know that, hey, you're part of the things you're going through, other people are going through. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gave us maybe a little confidence and assurance that, okay, you know, because as we looked at other organizations and leaders, it's like, wow, they got it figured out. And then when they say, oh, this is a big problem for us, that kind of gave us some confidence, like, okay, mm-hmm. we can figure this out, or we can get better at this, because they're struggling with it too.
Mm-hmm. There definitely can be an assumption in fast growing or just growing churches even that, you know, the same culture that kind of is growing the weekend part of what you're doing, or is actually developing great community in small groups, all of that, that somehow will just rub off on the staff culture, that, you know, you don't have to kind of work on it strategically. It'll just kind of somehow bleed over, and it'll be like, well, it's fun to come here on the weekend, so I'm sure people will like to work here. Those two things aren't true. You know, you've got to actually work on what the staff experience is. I really appreciate, you know, this conversation today.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode that we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Marty Sawyers with us today from Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. Fantastic church you should be checking out and following. Marty, what's an online resource that you're using these days to help you in your ministry and work?
The one I typically use most, it's called To-Do by Apigo. Mm-hmm. It's a cloud-based, you know, task management system. And I can set it up on my iPhone, and I can actually speak a reminder in it, and it actually goes into the app. I can set it up to different divisions, different people. Those things that just kind of helps keep the things that I need to get done, or the thoughts that, you know, I might not write down on paper, mm-hmm. kind of somewhere so I can see it later.
Very cool. What's a book you've read in the last, oh, I don't know, maybe 6 months, a year, maybe longer, that's shaping your thinking or ministry these days?
Well, I think it goes back to, it was an older book. It was the Simon Sinek book you know, the Start With Why. It's, yeah. You know, it's as we went through this whole working on communication and sharing vision, that really came out. It was a kind of a good reminder to, hey, start with the why. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, the why, not what. Everybody understands the what. That's just information. Mm-hmm. But when they finally buy into the vision and they understand why we're doing it, mm-hmm. that changes everything. So that was a great reminder and a good resource to go back and read.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. What's another ministry you're watching these days, you're kind of tracking, that's inspiring you?
Well, there's a group out of Colorado called REC, mm. Relationship Enrichment Collaborative. Mm. They're actually part of another organization called GLOO, G-L-O-O. Mm-hmm. It's an engagement platform. They're doing some amazing things with data and tracking data and using data to increase engagement within the church. So, you know, they've been around for a little bit, but it's amazing what they're doing with relationships and marriage. And so we've been talking with them, and just amazing what they're doing for churches right now. In, you know, big data is out there, totally. And culture is using it, and other organizations using it. And why aren't we using it as the church?
Right.
So why aren't we using that to expand the kingdom and to increase engagement, things like that? So we've been talking to them about how to do that within the church.
Very cool. I'll have to check them out. I was not aware of them. That's really cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would that be and why? It's a big question.
I don't know. Going back and looking at the people I've probably seen or listened to or read, probably Patrick Lencioni, just because the things he says are not, and at least for me, they're not hard to understand. Mm-hmm. They're fairly basic, but he would just be fun to hang out with for 15 minutes.
Right.
Because he would always have you laughing, and he seems like he would just be fun to hang out with, but also you'd learn a great deal in that 15 minutes.
Right. Very cool. I know being executive pastor of a growing church takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot of effort and energy, but what do you do just for fun when you want to kick back, Marty, and have a good time?
Well, right now, it's busy season for family because I got two high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So I've got a senior getting ready to go to college.
So do I. That's amazing.
And a junior in high school. So being a part of their activities, because knowing that, we're not going to have them forever. Right. And it's just been fun to see them in these last couple of years in high school kind of, mm-hmm. Bloom and explode and mm-hmm. take part in all sorts of different activities. So that's been the last couple of years, that's been a big part of what we've been focusing on, just kind of enjoying them as we see them turn into amazing young adults. Mm-hmm. So being a part of that. Mm-hmm. And then also when I just need to go home and stare at the wall, just read a book, watch a game. That's how I get refreshed personally. Mm-hmm. I don't get to play enough golf, but
when you get a chance, reading, you try to
reading golf and family, but it's right. Usually it's family reading and then maybe golf here and there.
Yeah. Great. Well, Marty, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. The best way is I'm online at mm-hmm. cornerstoneonline.com. They can go to the website. Mm-hmm. I am always available for phone calls, emails, because I learn talking to other people. Mm-hmm. So nothing that I have learned is ever an original thought. It's mm-hmm. looking at other people, listening to podcasts that you do, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a learner. And if I can listen and watch and read something from somebody else that's already done it and been there, done that, improved on that, mm-hmm. I will do that all day long. So
yeah, that's great.
So, but I want to offer that to anyone else as well, because that's how I've been learning is talking to others.
That's fantastic. Well, Marty, I really appreciate being on the show today. Thank you so much for taking time out. I'm excited to hear as you go into the future to see how things improve and, continue to grow there at Cornerstone.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.